Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 117 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today we're going to talk about her sex life. Before we get into this episode, I want to make sure you know that this is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix, customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder, please hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate and review this wonderful podcast because I want to hear from you and your feedback is so precious to us. All right, so make sure to do that. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Boy, this is going to be an interesting topic. Why women avoid sex as they age. Does it really happen? Is that absolutely true? Well, as it turns out, recent research has popped out that says, absolutely, and for very interesting reasons. And we're going to find out about that with our expert, Dr. Kristen Bendixson. She is a fertility specialist and assistant clinical professor at USC Fertility, a part of the Keck School of Medicine of USC. She serves as the director of IVF at USC Fertility, as well as the director of the Fertility Diagnostic Testing Program. She founded the USC Center for Pregnancy Loss, the first to be located in Southern California. Oh boy, so great to have you back, Kristen.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
All right, so this is going to be an interesting topic. Why women, as they age, avoid sex? You know, something called the genitourinary syndrome of menopause, GSM. What is that?
So genitourinary syndrome of menopause, or GSM, as you stated, is the name of a constellation of issues that women experience when they're entering or have already entered menopause. These symptoms include vaginal dryness, pain, irritation, lack of lubrication during intercourse, and also bladder control issues. Women don't need to have all of those symptoms in order to have GSM. However, they have to have some of those symptoms, and the symptoms need to be bothersome. And they also have to not be caused by other non-related medical issues. GSM is a pretty new term that was approved in 2014 by experts in the field of menopause. The old term for GSM was just atrophic vaginitis. However, experts in the field felt that this term really was inadequate and that it didn't incorporate the issues of the lower urinary tract, for example, incontinence. And it didn't also convey that this grouping of symptoms was related to menopause. And so they felt that that was exceedingly important so that women understood and physicians could talk to their patients in a way so that they know that these symptoms are really related to menopause and are not just part of the normal aging process.
Well, I think that this is such a huge thing. You know, the very fact that this kind of terminology just popped up in 2014, you know, a year later, a researcher, Dr. Amanda Clark, you know, presented data in 2015 when she and her colleagues surveyed more than 1,500 women aged 55 and above. And what she found was that, now, you keep in mind, the mass majority of the women were white. So, you know, it's not a perfectly diverse study here by any means. And she said that when they were quizzed, nearly half, that's 48% of them, reported not having any sexual activity in the 6 months leading up to the study. I'm not surprised by that. But then again, I work with women all the time, and this is kind of what I hear. But, you know, it's interesting. The main self-reported reasons for why women were not sexually active were lack of a partner. Well, that helps, right? With 47% of respondents saying that this was the case, or the partner's lack of interest or physical inability, with 55% of participants responding that way. Other things that popped up: bladder leaks, urgency, too frequent urination, and then again, there's that old vulvo-vaginal dryness, irritation, or pain, which was about 24%. So, do any of those numbers surprise you at all?
They don't. I think that one of the main reasons that women aren't necessarily enjoying intercourse, and maybe they're not interested in intercourse because they're not enjoying it, when they're starting to go through menopause, is because of the discomfort. And the discomfort that they have is related to the hormonal changes, and they present with exactly what the patients reported in this study, saying that they had vaginal dryness and irritation and pain and all of those kind of chronic symptoms were exacerbated with intercourse. And so I think that those are common and well-described reasons why women don't have intercourse when they go through menopause. I do think that it is important to note that, you know, half of these women were not having sex at all, and of those women that weren't having sex, a lot of them just didn't have partners, which you stated, but a lot of them did, and they still weren't having intercourse. And I thought one of the interesting things that they noted in the study was they weren't just talking about, well, are you having sex right now or not, but what are your fears related to intercourse? And so what they found was that women had much more fears about vaginal dryness and irritation than bladder-related issues. And in fact, women were twice as likely to be concerned about issues related to vaginal atrophy instead of incontinence. And so I think that that is really interesting. It's important, yet it's not entirely surprising what they found.
You know, there's something else that hits me, you know, when I'm reading this kind of thing, too. One is that as a woman is going through all of her body changes, and Lord knows, body composition changes, as she ages, I know for a fact, because I work with women like this, that their feeling about themselves is not greatly positive, that they don't feel like they look attractive, even if they are, that even if their partner protests and says, no, you're still very attractive to me and whatever, but the woman herself is feeling rotten about herself, that'll kill sexual desire in about 2 seconds. And I think that a boatload of women really feel this way, because I listen to it all day long. And a lot of these kinds of surveys miss that heavy dose of psychological play here, because if you don't feel good about yourself, well, then you have that. The other piece that's missing, I think, too, is stress. You're going through a time when, you know, parents are passing away, when you may be having issues with your own family, stress of partnership breakups, divorce rates, moves, physical, geographic moves, all of those kinds of things. I just think that they play a very powerful role. What do you think, Kristen?
I absolutely agree. I think that self-confidence and self-esteem about how you perceive your own body and sexuality is so important, and it is how women feel about themselves and how they put themselves out there in terms of their interest in having sex. And I do think that stress is also an important component, and if there are lots of stressors that are going on in your life, then your ability to focus and enjoy intercourse is going to be less. I also think fatigue is something to consider as well. Many women who are going through the menopausal transition may be having hot flashes at night and mood swings, and all of those can also play into how much sleep you're getting. And if you're really fatigued and tired, you're not going to be as interested in having intercourse. And I think you're right in that many of these studies don't focus in on those topics. For example, in the study that we were talking about, they were specifically using a questionnaire that is devised. It's a well-known questionnaire, and it's been used in multiple studies, but it's devised specifically to look at issues of the genitourinary type and their relationship to intercourse and patients' desire for intercourse. So this questionnaire was not designed to look at all of those other aspects that you and I have been talking about that are also so important in terms of considering why a woman would be interested in having intercourse during the menopausal years of her life.
I see. You know, I just think that, you know, you're an OBGYN, I'm an internist, and as we're watching women age and go through this whole thing, I just think that there are very few opportunities they have outside of reading magazines and books and listening to whatever, where a woman can really start to become more comfortable with all the changes that are taking place in her body. I think the perimenopause oftentimes takes women by surprise. As much as they read about it and this and that, suddenly just they wake up and they've got the spare tire thing going on. They've got all kinds of issues that involve everything from the mind and memory to vision to, you know, body composition shifts and energy levels and mood swings. And I think that it's really, really tough for women to kind of just keep pace with all of this, with all the other things in their life. And I think that sex gets kind of kicked off to the side because they're so distracted by trying to make sense of all of this. How do you, as an OBGYN, you know, work with women like this?
Well, I think that what you're saying is absolutely spot on, because I think that that's one of the things that this study has highlighted, is that there are lots of women out there that either aren't having intercourse or are having fears and anxiety related to intercourse because of the changes that their body is going through. And although this particular study was only focused on the symptoms of vaginal atrophy and bladder incontinence, there are lots of other symptoms related to menopause that women have, like hot flashes and mood swings, and that absolutely play into their desire to have intercourse. And it's really, this is where the OBGYN or the general practitioner can absolutely step in and play a role and help these women, because most women are going to their doctors every year. I mean, they're having mammograms and they're having to have those reviewed, so they're going in for these well woman checkups. And I think it's so important for the doctor to ask about sexual function. Are they having intercourse? If they're not having intercourse, why? If they're having intercourse, are they having any issues related to intercourse? And what specifically is it, if the woman can pinpoint something, right, what is it that is actually impacting their enjoyment or their experiences during sexual function that are problematic? And so they can identify if there's something specific that can actually be treated. So, for example, with genitourinary syndrome, there's lots of specific symptoms that can be treated.
Yep. And this is so terribly important for women to understand that we, as professionals, get it with the whole mind-body thing. I think that the study that Clark did, Dr. Clark, is great and wonderful and really, you know, feeds us with some information here that is terribly important in terms of technical know-how, that this GSM is a real thing, and that OBGYNs out there really have to be very cognizant of its existence and ask the right questions, but at the same time also ask the other questions about the mind and what's going on with that. I mean, really, how interested are you? The other thing, too, there's another layer, Kristen, I was just thinking. You know, by the time you hit 55 and above, there's a very good chance you're on some meds for something. And, you know, are they interfering with libido? That's important.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. You're so right. And that is why it is so important. And I think it really should be part of the standard well woman exam, is just to ask about that. And, you know, yes, some patients might be uncomfortable with that. And if they don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But I think that unless the provider asks about it, then the patient might not have the opportunity, or they might be too nervous to ask about it and inquire, even if they're having an issue. And I think you're right. They're like asking about other medical problems, not just medications, but like medical problems, medications, just like you stated before, stress, things that are going on in their lives. All of those things are super important and will contribute to a woman's sexual desires.
Well, another thing, too, is just physical pain. You know, osteoarthritis starts popping up in the 50s and 60s. And there's nothing like a little pain to just knock off all sexual desire, you know? And the likelihood is that maybe you've got those aches and pains, and there's a lot of that going on, too. Now, talk to us about why this should be important at all. Why is it important to keep up kind of a, you know, a bit more of a vibrant sexuality as you age?
Well, I think sexuality is very important in that it contributes to intimacy with your partner and emotional connectivity. And so I think keeping that alive and part of your relationship actually kind of can support and help the relationship grow as you get older. And as you were saying, there's lots of stressful things that are happening during this period of a woman's life. And so to have that support of her partner and emotional closeness is very key. And sex is part of that.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that there's actual studies that show that if you maintain, you know, more of a, you know, an active sex life. And when I say active, hell, it could be once a week. It could be, you know, three times a month. I'm not saying some kind of crazy hourly situation, but just something there. Not only does it maintain that intimacy, which is exceptionally important to maintain good mental health, let alone physical health, but also people tend to have a higher quality of life. And they tend to note that their meaning in life, that their very enjoyment of life per se is greatly enhanced by having this sense of sexuality in their partnership. So I think it's just really important to know that it's healthy and normal, and that there's no age limit. You don't just sort of say that, why, you know, after the age of 70, you know, well, of course people don't have sex. Au contraire, studies have shown that a very significant portion of the population is having a very robust sexual life, and that it's really enhanced their quality of life. So we shall, you know, I'm going to wag my little finger here and say we shall have none of that talk, you know, because there is no age limit to that. Some of the coolest relationships I've ever seen are people who are 80 years old, still holding hands, still looking at each other like they just met. And I know that you've had a boatload of folk like that in your own life, Kristen. Doesn't it just make you feel good?
Yeah. And I mean, listen, there are some, you know, advantages to having a great sex life when you're older. I mean, obviously, when you're in menopause, you don't have to worry about getting pregnant anymore. So that's something that's good. You probably don't have 3-year-olds and 5-year-old kids that are like running in your bedroom and knocking on the door in the middle of the night when you're in the middle of your sexual encounters. And you may have more time, right? And so that all of those things are really bonuses that can lead to great sexual function for a couple that's older.
Excellent. And, you know, in the last minutes here in this wonderful podcast on all things why women avoid sex as they age, there's some real easy do's here, right? So if you're having vaginal dryness, I mean, you know, I'd love your thoughts on this. The estrogen ring, which can be inserted and it's left there for about, you know, a couple months or so, you know, gives out a little bit of localized estrogen therapy, just enough to be able to maintain not only a better lubrication in the vaginal vault, but also it also tends to help with bladder control as well, because it tends to have an effect on that that little, as we say, opening of the bladder into the vaginal area. What are your thoughts on that? Something as simple as that.
Localized estrogen application is like the mainstay medical treatment for any vaginal atrophy, dryness, and some urinary incontinence. It improves blood flow, improves vaginal lubrication, so it takes away a lot of that itchiness and pain. It actually improves blood flow to the tissue around the urethra, which is the tube that connects the bladder to actually the opening where the urine comes out. And so by bulking up that tissue, it actually improves urinary incontinence. And so it is actually like the main medical treatment. But in addition, women can use non-hormonal lubricants for intercourse, and there are long-acting moisturizers that women can take if they don't want to take a medication. And in fact, some of the studies have shown that vaginal moisturizers, if used on a regular basis, are just as effective as localized estrogen application. In addition, they have the new the newer vaginal lasers that are coming out on the market, and those seem to be quite effective from the limited amount of data that we have.
And how are they used?
For example, the Mona Lisa vaginal laser was approved by the FDA in 2014, and it's a prober wand that's introduced into the vagina. And over the course of a few minutes, there's multiple minuscule injuries that are made to the vaginal wall, which amazingly is not supposed to hurt. And what happens is the vagina responds by increasing both the production of collagen and improving blood flow to that area in order to heal it. And in doing so, it ends up thickening the wall of the vagina and also that tissue that supports the urinary tract. And so it can help with all of these issues of genitourinary syndrome. I mean, I think one of the drawbacks of the laser therapy is that it actually takes more than one session. It takes about 3 sessions and for it to be effective, and it's pretty expensive. Each session is somewhere between $500 and $1,000, so it can get pretty pricey. But it seems very effective in the studies that are out there, with very little side effects. I think some of the issues with research related to devices is that they don't have to go through the same rigorous measures as medications do. So in order to get a device approved, you don't have to have the thousands of patients that you do with medications. So the data is a little bit smaller, but so far it seems like women have a very good response to this laser treatment. So if the localized estrogen isn't working and some of the moisturizers and lubricants aren't doing the job, and you have the money and the time and you're willing to do it, this is a good option.
Excellent. Fantastic. Well, I'm filled with hope. I'm just glad that women out there had a chance to hear your voice of authority on all things why women avoid sex as they age. As you've heard, there are a lot of technical reasons, and we call it GSM, or what we love to basically say is the genitourinary syndrome, which occurs especially postmenopausally. And at the same time, we've got all those mental issues, everything from stress to pain to medicines, and it goes on and on. And, you know, putting it all together holistically, once again, Dr. Kristen Bendixson has been able to give us a real total comprehensive picture of what to be able to think about when you really perceive what goes on with sex, sexuality, and your overall sexual health as you age. And yes, there is absolutely no age limit. Did you hear me? No age limit. Go on out there and have a wonderful, joyful time, every flipping one of you, whatever your age is. Oh my gosh. So once again, Kristen Bendixson. Dr. Bendixson, we cannot thank you enough. Learn more about her wonderful work by going to uscfertility.org or Dr. Kristen Bendixson, and I'll spell that KristinBendixson.com, because she is our go-to on all things, OBGYN, what can I say? Dr. Bendixson, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast.
I'm happy to be here yet again. So fun.
Oh, boy. And everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And then just take a few seconds and rate and review this wonderful podcast we just did on why women avoid sex as they age. Because I want to read these. Your feedback means everything to me. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.